This next story here on KNKX comes from our show, Sound Effect. Here's Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer.
George Devoki is a scientist based in Seattle for most of the year, but don't expect to find him around here during the summertime. I can't tell you where he'll be, though, on a small, flat little island in the Arctic Ocean off the Alaska coast called Cooper Island. Back in 1975, Devoki was doing survey work there when he came across a colony of Arctic birds called manse black guillemots. They're little pigeon-sized birds with bright red legs, and they're one of the few seabird species that depend year-round on sea ice.
It was very interesting and very unique to find this colony, and I went back to the colony a number of times that summer, never thought I would see it again, never thought I would spend essentially the next 45 years of my life on that island.
Over the years, the importance of his research became clearer. These birds are perfect indicators of the warming climate. Since discovering the colony, Devoki has not missed a summer on that island, and for the majority of those summers, the only occupants have been Devoki and the birds.
I lived in a tent for 28 years. It was a four-person tent where I had a little stove and a place to sleep and a place to keep my notes and things like that. And one wakes up and has work to do. As soon as you wake up, and certainly all the various maintenance things that you have to do to make sure you have enough water, because I used to melt pack ice for water, making sure that the stove works, making sure that the bears, if they're on the island, are not close to the tent. So as soon as you wake up, you have to deal with these things that you don't have any period where you can kind of lounge in bed for a while. And then the data gathering starts, and it can be an 8 to 12 hour day, depending on what's going on, just weighing chicks, catching adults, making observations. And it's a sort of lifestyle or the sort of daily routine that makes one realize that if you have too much time to think about things, your thoughts can go to various places that you may not want them to in terms of getting depressed or things like that. But out there, you are so busy, you don't really have that indulgence of trying to think about what you're going to do next because it's clear what you're going to do next. Because I've banded all the birds and know them as individuals, these became my social group. After I would get back to the cabin, and I maybe have an hour or so that I wanted to do something, I go, well, why don't you go out and see who White Red White is breeding with? Because she has two males who are interested in her nest site. So that was my social life as such. I mean, I would go out and I would see these birds, and I then had some place in the colony as such. I mean, because then I got to know them all as individuals, and it also makes me feel less lonely on the island.
If you wandered out in some evening just to say, oh, what's everybody up to? Paint me a little picture here, like so-and-so, so-and-so, what are they doing?
Well, we put three color bands on each bird so that I can identify them with binoculars. So that there's one bird who has a blue, an orange, and a blue band. And our shorthand for that is B-O-B, so his name, of course, is Bob. And those birds you can really relate to because you can say their names. We have one green, black, orange. Our code is a K for black, so it's Gecko, and he's Gordon Gecko. So guillemots have a 95% mate and site fidelity. It's very close to the human way in which the pairs operate. And anytime you see a bird that you know is mated with somebody else, like Bob, I've seen situations where White Red White, who was this one female who had a very active social life, had come over and was head bobbing and pairing with this bird because Bob's mate was offshore forming the eggs. And then what was really interesting is that as the colony grew, I banded a number of birds that were not breeding but were waiting for someone to die because all the nest sites were full. So those non-breeders, of course, had much more interesting social lives than the birds that were breeding trying to raise young. So those would be the birds I would go out and follow to see who they were paired up with, and they'd move around a lot and things like that. So it was, it's the reason that Friends had a much longer time period on TV than Ozzie and Harriet. Because, like, stable pairs trying to raise young, it's not as interesting as pairs thinking about breeding and wondering who they might breed with. Wow. So I knew more about them, or I knew as much as I did about their personal life as my friends' personal lives, who were also non-breeders at that point.
Yeah. Have you ever been close to quitting?
There is a time, almost every summer, and it's certainly happening now that things are not as good for the guillemots as they were in the 70s and the 80s and the early 90s, that I think, wait a minute, why am I doing this? I had one summer I came back and I thought, you know, I think this is the last summer. But then I realized if I was in Seattle on the 10th of June and was just having a good time, I would be thinking, who is White, Red, White breeding with this year? And it would bother me that I didn't know. It would bother me, and I think I have to go back and see this bird that I've tracked for the past two or three decades. Also, now, what happened after the study started finding these major climate change impacts and then got some national and international attention, I realized I have to keep doing it. What is going to happen next year, given the fact that this has happened over the past now 15 years in terms of the colony having trouble, birds not being able to raise young, numbers dropping, and things like that?
So, yeah, what is the overall kind of sweep of the life of this colony now with the changing climate?
Well, the colony had 200 pairs in 1989 and 1990. It started dropping as the Arctic warmed, down to last year 100 pairs, and dropped to 85 breeding pairs this past summer in 2017.
So it's this population that has thrived since the Ice Age is now looking at a couple of pretty bleak fates, it seems like, extinction or potentially having to adapt into something that it hasn't been for millennia.
Right. And that is, it's the good news and the bad news. In terms of quitting, if I had just been doing a demographic study of the breeding productivity, the lifespan, and all those other things that people study in seabirds, I probably would have stopped it after 25 years. Now it is this natural experiment, but one that I wish wasn't happening. And I've been tempted when I've been interviewed and people say, glad to have you here. I am tempted to say, wish you'd never heard of me, because I could be just a very idiosyncratic person doing the 44-year study of a seabird on this island and not have it be tied in with something that indicates that fossil fuel emissions are warming the world.
So as you have watched the island change, this colony change and shrink and respond in all kinds of negative ways to the changing climate, I know you're a scientist and you're supposed to have some distance, but do you have an emotional response to that?
Oh, I mean, I have a very major emotional response. Once I started seeing more and more chicks dying, it was very depressing. And it was very depressing because the chicks hatch, they're okay for a certain period of time. If I know that the food is not common that year, if the fish they want to feed on are not common offshore, those chicks will be dying. So even when they hatch, I'm thinking, you likely won't make it. So I'm then weighing these very cute black guillemot chicks, knowing that they probably will be dead in a week or two. And that is exactly what happened. Like last summer, 2/3 of all the chicks that hatched died.
Wow, 2/3?
Yes.
Just for lack of food mostly?
Yes.
So how do you think about the value of this work that you have done? What difference does it make? And do you ever despair of it making as much of a difference as you'd like?
I was very taken with the fact that when climate change was just getting to be talked about in the late 90s, early 21st century, that people were interested in my study when it seemed like there could be things that could be done. And now, of course, it is somewhat different because everybody is seeing climate change in lots of different places. So now I'm doing this because it still is frequently a way for people to relate to climate change, but it is really looking at how fast the canaries in the coal mine are going to be dying, as opposed to saying, oh, by the way, this is giving us a warning. Let's act on that warning.
Well, George Devoke is a biologist, and he's the founder and the director of Friends of Cooper Island. He lives in Seattle. Thank you so much for coming in.
Great. Thanks so much.